News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Good morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5, 8.07, 7 minutes after 8 o'clock, and a little peak of sunshine coming through. That's good. We're going to have a nice day today. Should have a nice few days. It looks like the chance of rain does not even arrive until Friday night, Saturday, which means at the, what is it, the Fairhope Arts and Crafts Festival. It's Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Saturday might be a little troublesome with rain and maybe a storm, but Friday and Sunday both look pretty good. So old Meatloaf said 2 out of 3 ain't bad. I'll agree with him on that.
It's funny, online over the weekend, and we'll get to some real news here because there's so much going on internationally, but also as far as the Mobile mayoral race, some clashing going on there between Hudson and Chariagatis' campaigns. So we'll get into that, plus Yellowhammer looking into who may run for Senate.
I had missed that Chariagatis-Hudson story. I missed that completely.
Yeah, we'll get into that a little bit here, and also who may run for Senate, for Tuberville's empty Senate seat if he vacates in order to run for governor of Alabama. But so over the weekend, I saw someone point out, you know, it's too bad that The Apprentice, the long-running Donald Trump show, isn't streaming anywhere. And I guess it isn't. I haven't really thought about it. I'm not sure if you can purchase the digital seasons of it. But they said, you know, it's too bad because there are so many clips in The Apprentice that would go viral again today. One of the shows, they had Trump. They were having a, you know, they had these competitions. It's about
within. Who can
be, yeah, right. And so, and it was a celebrity season. I don't know if they were all celebrity seasons, but he walked Mayor Mike Bloomberg down to buy a hot dog from Gene Simmons. And so just that whole interaction. And Trump acting the same exact way he acts today.
Yeah.
I don't know if we thought of him as presidential then, but you look at the way that even these celebrities, B-list, C-list, they had some pretty actually big name celebrities in that.
Including Meatloaf.
And Meatloaf. And so that's what I was going to get to.
Yeah.
There was a scene where Meatloaf was convinced that Gary Busey had stolen his art supplies for a competition they were having. You had John Rich stepping in between them. It was the most absurd television I've ever seen, and Meatloaf was right in the middle of it.
So
and he found out he had misplaced it. So he's screaming Busey down and cussing him. Like, I've never seen Meatloaf so mad, even in the Fight Club movie, which I guess he was a kind guy in that just needed to fight Bob, right? So The Apprentice, I don't know if it's good or bad that you don't have much more footage out there of that.
It's bad. It's bad. Because, okay, so I wasn't, same as today, I would have to get to bed, you know, pretty early, so nighttime TV was not always my thing, but I had certain assignments, and we didn't have all these clips and things you can prepare in the morning, and, you know, here's YouTube where you have what you need when you get, you had to stay up and watch it.
Right.
So, because John Rich was on that one season, Country Star, I kind of needed to,
check in,
know what was going on. And I remember having an impression of Trump back then was not unhinged at all, really. He was obviously, you know, had made an amazing business career for himself. He just seemed like a guy who was in charge. He just seemed like, okay, he wasn't a mean guy. I don't remember that. I mean, he could make a decision and be done with it, but he didn't seem to take any pleasure in calling anybody names or anything like that.
Right.
And I would love to watch some seasons of that now.
And if I remember, they delved into some pretty thorny social issues, and, you know, he didn't take the Nazi side that everyone thinks he would, or not everyone, of course. I'm talking about the liberal media that says everything he does is far-right-wing Nazism. But, you know, they would talk about, you know, gay folks on the show. I need to go back and try to rewatch some of that. So it was notable to me that when he had Bloomberg in that one little clip, that Trump was running the show. I mean, it was technically his TV show.
Yeah.
But how many people can walk down to the streets of New York with the mayor of New York, a billionaire philanthropist and run the show.
Yeah.
And that may have had some clues as to where he'd be. But now he's not walking the mayor down to buy hot dogs. He's sending people over to the Middle East to negotiate the end to Israel and Hamas's war. And we have this Russia-Ukraine thing going on as well.
Yeah.
So this would make maybe a more entertaining reality show, but a lot more on the line with what Trump does now for the rest of the people in the world.
So you're proposing for this presidency like a Hard Knocks. Like a behind-the-scene yeah. look.
And they could be doing something like that. I mean, they had there was a pretty well-done documentary or documentaries of the Trump campaign where you got really, you know, inside look at how things were going throughout most of last year. Maybe they're doing something similar now, although I doubt it with much of the confidential information swirling around.
So much security. This is high-level stuff, obviously. Couple of questions. Is there a reason that those shows are not available anywhere? Is there a political reason?
You know, I'm not sure. The showrunner, and he's the one who is most well-known for getting Survivor started, I believe, but I cannot recall his name. It's escaping me right now. He's a big Trump guy. And I remember they were trying to leak some stuff from the show that showed him in a bad light during maybe this last election or maybe the 2020 election. So I'm not sure. That's my answer. I don't know why it's not as available for streaming as so many other shows are. But whoever it was that pointed out you'd have a lot of viral clips coming from that was, I think, spot on.
So when you consider everything that this administration is dealing with, and it is a bunch, you've got Doge, you know, to the dissatisfaction of some, but the delight of many, doing their thing. You've got Ukraine and Russia, and he just talked about tariffs for Russia. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of sensitive in the fact that they're trying to get a peace deal done. It's a heck of a time to hit him with some bad news, like a late payment deal.
Yeah, right. So after the big blow up with Zelensky and everything that followed last week, you had a massive Russian attack on Ukraine.
Yeah.
And Trump, after that, threatened massive sanctions. That threat came down Friday. And then later in the day, said he predicted that Putin would be more generous than he has to be in peace talks. So he wrote on Truth Social Friday, based on the fact that Russia is absolutely pounding Ukraine on the battlefield right now, I'm strongly considering large-scale banking sanctions and then just sanctions and tariffs on Russia until a ceasefire and final settlement agreement on peace is reached. He said to Russia and Ukraine, get to the table right now before it is too late. He also said Friday he thought Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky was too resistant to making peace, which he's said pretty consistently over the last few weeks. In terms of getting a final settlement, it may be easier dealing with Russia, which is surprising because they have all the cards. That's what Trump said. He said Ukraine has got to get on the ball and get a job done. So that massive attack that came last week, Russia launched 194 drones.
Yeah, that was midweek or late in the week. Right.
And that's the second most drones they'd launched in a single night since the war began. And they also launched 67 missiles, which is the most in recent memory. And at least 5 Ukrainian civilians were killed in those drone strikes last week, another 30 at least wounded. So Trump then pointing his finger at Russia, and he's saying, all right, now you need to cut it out too.
Yeah, I think people would appreciate that. It seemed like he's going in pretty hard on Ukraine. They would appreciate him pointing out where Russia is up to the things that he does not approve of, that he'll speak his mind and say it. That's, I think, you're not going to hear that from some folks on the left, but fair is fair.
But also, right now, they're looking at the land that Ukraine is holding in Russia, the Kursk region, with that surprise offensive. I guess, was that about a year ago, maybe half a year ago, that Ukraine...
Yeah.
Moved their way into Russia, and they've been able to hold it down for some time.
That was back in the summer, I believe. And more success than we would ever imagine.
That's starting to falter, and I'm not sure if that's because of Trump pulling back on the use of U.S. intelligence in the war and other things that he's also withdrawn until Zelensky's ready to come to the table. But, yes, 7 months, okay, 7 months they've held on to Kursk. And on Friday, Moscow's troops broke through the defensive line and said as Ukrainians fought to counter a flood of Russian drones, missiles, artillery, and glide bombs Thursday night, Kremlin forces used that time to overcome the battlefront that kept them at bay for more than a half a year. So a lot going on in that war. And then there's 2 other major negotiations that are ongoing in the Middle East, and that's this – can they extend the ceasefire with Gaza? Can we get our American back, right? Mm-hmm. And the three deceased Americans that are believed to be hostages held in their care. And then you have Iran, and Trump kind of amping that up too and saying he wants to have a nuclear deal there. Ayatollah Khamenei over the weekend said he's not ready to talk with Trump about that. So that's where we stand there.
Also, you got negotiations with the CR, trying to get that passed and keep the government running past mm-hmm. Friday at midnight. So that's, you know, top of mind on the top of
And that's another kick the can down the road, right?
Yeah.
There's not a whole lot there. I think the way that Mike Johnson put it, and you had his quote, and he says just a clean CR and they're going to try to get it across. It does look like they probably have the Republicans to where they won't need any Democrats to flip.
In the House.
Because, well, Massey is still going to be a no vote, mm-hmm. I believe. But some of the other Republicans, including Chip Roy, who sometimes puts some roadblocks in the way, seem to be thinking that they will vote to get the Republicans going on.
Just the fact that you get Chip Roy to vote yes on that, that's a big deal in itself.
Pat said he's not our American. Stop spreading that. He's an Israeli soldier. Just because he was born American means nothing. Well, he went to college in America. He was born in America. He's at least partial American citizen. He's an American, Pat. I don't know what to tell you. He's an American who fought for the IDF, so yeah, you can complain with that, but when it comes down to it, he's an American. And who does that fall to get him back home? It was amazing how much the Biden administration failed to discuss any of the American, they all had at least Israeli citizenship as well.
Yeah, but you didn't know there was a hostage situation going on.
Mm-hmm.
It was never brought up. It was never, even when it was relevant to bring it up in a conversation, they just glossed past it. Then also, you know, with DOGE and all going on with the Department of Education, and Trump would like to dismantle that. In a way, it sounds like what I'm seeing is he would like to chop it up, and other departments will get this part of what they do,
mm-hmm.
and another department will get this part of what the Department of Education does. So that could be something that could be compromised.
Student loans were a big question on that.
Yeah.
And he said, well, we would move that to Treasury, right? We would move it to a department that's used to dealing with finances.
Exactly.
Which makes perfect sense. And you also had reportedly a big blow up last week between Elon Musk and Marco Rubio during a cabinet meeting. And the rumor was that Elon was upset that Rubio wasn't cutting as many employees from the State Department as he was wanting him to, as they cut down on how many government employees there are. And Rubio said, hey, there's 1,500 that have retired early. So you could consider that, you know, people that are leaving the department. But Trump came out, I think Rubio and Elon separately, and said, that those were all lies. We didn't have this big blow up. So I'm not sure, but the reporting that came from that room seemed pretty specific that it got a little heated there.
Yeah.
But I think I want cabinet meetings to be heated.
Yeah.
You don't want, you know, a government that's, you know, hand in glove all the time.
No, but you want
a little battling in there.
You don't want Elon Musk and Rubio to be wrestling on the floor for an hour and a half either.
No, you don't want that either.
You want it to be kind of civil. Also, you know, all this talk about the Department of Education, and do you realize it was Jimmy Carter, he started it, and it was to fulfill a campaign promise because the teachers' unions went so over the top to get him elected. So he started that whole department really as just as a promise or a thank you to the teachers' unions. And Ronald Reagan gets elected in 1980, immediately tries to dismantle it and shut it down. But somehow, once they got in there, tough to close shop, huh?
Yeah, I would say so. So
here's
kind of run around all of that international news. In a way, summed up for you there. Now we get some local stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And the Connie Hudson campaign and the Spiro Chariagatis campaign, a little bit of a back and forth.
I apologize. I don't know how I missed all that. And so that is on the way. Mobile Mornings, telephone line, text line 251-343-0106 with Dan and Dalton. Are we like, we say it and then it happens? This hasn't happened on a couple of occasions. What was the other one? Anyway, the news from The Apprentice.
Yeah, so thank you, Haywood. So funny. Just randomly started this hour talking about why isn't The Apprentice streaming? Something I saw over the weekend. Someone was asking that exact same question. So Haywood says The Apprentice seasons 1 through 7 set to air on Prime this week.
What I've got. I've got Prime.
So I said, oh man, I bet I sounded like an idiot there, but this news just broke 4 minutes ago. So yeah, we brought it up at 8:07
and the
news breaks.
The gods heard us
10 minutes ago
and said, we got it. You were Dan and Dalton to talk about, we need to do something about that.
Yeah. So, I will be watching The Apprentice more and more this year as I try to catch up on some of that.
I found the story in AL.com about the race for mayor and how now people behind the campaigns itself, it's not like Cherry Goddess and Connie Hudson are, you know, nose to nose.
Yeah, they're not mortal enemies.
But behind the scenes, some stuff is going on.
Yeah, and John Sharp digging into this with AL.com, and it's an article about, you know, who's leading in fundraising, but it's also about how they're starting to maybe throw a little mud as we head towards the municipal elections later this year. So, Cherry Agatis has been leading the way in fundraising. He raised another nearly $100,000 in contributions in February. $97,825. Hudson raised just over $63,000 last month for her campaign. And so Hudson actually has more cash in hand right now, $283,000, and Cherry Agatis has $220,000. But month to month, since the former judge entered the race, he's been starting to catch up, I guess you could say. But then he spoke with John Gray. John Sharp with AL.com spoke with John Gray.
Pollster and a
yeah, his name
consultant.
May be familiar to you, especially if you've been following politics for some time. He's been on Jeff Poor's show a lot.
Yeah.
He's been on with Sean quite a bit, and you see the TV stations when they're wanting some insight, they'll ask him his question. He's providing campaign assistance for the Hudson campaign, according to John Sharp, and he says so. John Gray is saying that whole thing about the increase in the salary for the mayor. He said that's tied to Cherry Agatis's decision to resign as a judge without having amassed the 10 years of service to be vested in the Alabama Judicial Retirement Fund. So he was seven years in. He said the only reason you leave a job The only reason you leave a job 4 years before a guaranteed retirement is because someone has a better job for you. That's how Gray is spinning this.
And the salary was up from in the 120s to 180, right? Something like that?
It will go from, 125 a year to 195 a year,
right,
which would be the highest in Alabama. Cherry Agatis, he said, unlike other candidates in the race who were able to take a free ride while being compensated by taxpayers, I stepped away from a secure job to run for mayor. Now, the mayor's staff, the current mayor, Stimson, said there's no merit to allegations that the pay raise was intended to benefit Cherry Agatis nor any other particular candidate. And also, I don't know if it was Gray or someone from Hudson's campaign who said that Spiro said he was going to keep the entire staff in place, Sandy Stimson's staff. And while the mayor's saying he hasn't endorsed anyone, Spiro's saying that's not true. I have not made a promise to keep any employees, nor have I offered anyone a job in exchange for their support. So they're kind of, poking at each other a little bit here early, where we could find out also later this week, Friday, March 14th, whether former Mobile Police Chief Paul Prine will enter the race. That's when he's set to make his announcement.
You can bet that the Cherry Agatis, this momentum he's getting in the surge in fundraising, will continue. Just mark it down. It will continue. He will be the most funded candidate,
regardless of who jumps in.
You got it. 8:30, Dan and Dalton. Good morning.
Good morning. 8:35, FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings. We'll come to the text line here in just a moment. 251-343-0106. Also coming up, Tobias and Comer Law. And so Desi Tobias will be joining me in studio and bringing along a friend, Joey Warner, with Mobile's Baseball Connection, as we head straight into the spring sports and a lot of baseball going on. This segment brought to you by 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Trey Bennett and his crew have been doing great work on both sides of the bay, and they've been doing it for well over a decade and a half at this point, making that junk disappear and really making it easy on you, the customer. Once you get them on the line, and that's easy to do, 1-800-GOT-JUNK is the number, or online at 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. Set up your appointment. You can get free on-site estimates with all-inclusive pricing. No hidden fees. That means they don't hit you with surprise charges after everybody's left for the day. And you can often get same-day service. You call, and they're on their way. They'll be in and out in no time, and you can get on with your day. And I've talked so often about what makes 1-800-GOT-JUNK a great company, and that's the people, just like any company. And Trey has done such a great job of getting the right people in the mix, people that work hard but also show you respect when they come into your personal living space. But right now they're hiring. So if you know someone who fits that mold of what I've been talking about for years now, Trey says they're in search for part to full-time help. If anyone knows of someone 20 or older, not afraid to be dependable, sweat, get dirty, work independently, able to lift at least 50 pounds, valid license, clean record, and enjoy a fast-paced customer service and culture-driven work environment, and
be nice to people. I think those reviews over and over again talk about that, so he understands what customer service is.
Yeah, and they certainly have a great crew you would be joining. So check them out. They're hiring, but if you're interested in having them come out and take care of that junk at your house, you can set that appointment up online at 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com.
Found an interesting quote from CheerYourGoddessAle.com from or whatever site. Was it 2 years ago when he was upset with the way that the mayor and the police chief were framing judges with people getting out on bond?
So remember, yeah, and I had we both knew that that came up, but I didn't remember the exact words Spiro used.
But I remember when it happened, I was shocked by it. We talked about it.
So you have Candace Cooksey, who's been with the mayor's office for some time, and she joined Spiro's staff. And then now you have Hudson's campaign saying the former judge, Spiro Charagatis, is the handpicked successor from Stimson. But I said, well, when they went back and forth a few years ago, Spiro had some really harsh words, and the mayor had harsh words for our judges.
Yeah.
Was that planned to make it look like some kind of split, or was that just a blip in the radar?
I think was it said from the bench?
So
it wasn't like a press conference.
I believe it was. So you had this, remember back, they were letting folks out of jail because of COVID.
Yeah.
Crime got just incredibly bad.
Yes.
And this was from Brendan Kirby back in March of 2022, so 3 years ago. Stimson and Prine, along with Chief of Staff James Barber and Public Safety Director Lawrence Batiste, joined to denounce a broken criminal justice system they say is responsible for the surge in violence plaguing the city. Well, how about that? As far as names that we've talked about being in the mix this year, Prine, Barber, who hasn't said he's going to run, and then Batiste, who is running.
Yeah.
But they basically said it's the justice system. It's the judges. And so Spiro then, 3 years ago, I believe from behind the bench, like you said, for Mayor Stimson and Chief Prine to hold a press conference blaming others for this city's problem is childish. It's a complete and total cop-out. For them to blame judges for following the law of the land and the Constitution of America, it's despicable. But these two leaders spend their time blaming others instead of seeking creative solutions to exploding problems. We focus on people out on bond, but how many of these crimes are committed by people recently released early from prison? He said, but somehow it's my fault that a backlog exists. Find me one single county in Alabama where jury trials were suspended due to COVID that doesn't have the exact same problem. And then this is where I think he really went after the mayor hard. Mayor Stimson promised the safest city in America, and in delivering that promise, he has failed. But I don't blame him because crime is not his fault. He didn't shoot anyone. I don't blame Chief Prine for not stopping the shooting at the vigil, even though he was there. You may remember that.
Yeah.
Crime is the product of our current American society.
That's very thoughtful, very strong, very, he's not deferring at all to the mayor or the police chief at that time. He came at him really strong. At the time, I remember just coming into work that day saying, man, what is up with that?
Don't see that very often.
No, you don't see very often. And now here you have it. Looks like all is good between Stimson and Charagatis. It appears,
yeah.
Because Cooksey is, and now the talk that he may retain every member of the staff, which is unusual.
And he's pushed back, so that's not the case. And the mayor said he hasn't endorsed anyone. So still a lot of road to run on that one, and we'll have these candidates in throughout this whole campaign. Also, maybe Jeff will talk a little bit more about whether Senator Tuberville will jump in on the governor's race next year in Alabama. I thought this was interesting. Yellowhammer's Grayson Everett, Yellowhammernews.com, said if Tuberville leaves his current job to run for governor, Who might we see run for Senate? What do you think of some of these names? Steve Marshall, the Attorney General?
Yes, I think that would be, that could happen.
Everett here writes, he stands as one of the strongest contenders in a potential Senate race. He's already ruled out running for governor, so he could be running for Senate. Twinkle Kavanaugh. Mm-hmm. With the Public Service Commission, who just wins every race she's in.
She does.
She could be a possibility here. Dale Strong, of course, he's a congressman, so he'd have to step out of that job, and then we'd have another opening up there.
Yeah, he's the Huntsville area. That who was the guy that ran?
Mo Brooks was there for a while, and then Dale Strong took it over.
He lost that seat when he ran for the Senate.
Cliff Sims, interesting name here, because he founded Yellowhammer News, and this is an article in Yellowhammer News.
Oh, there you go.
Kind of a year and a half before the election, so I don't know if there's a reason that Cliff Sims is perfectly in the middle of this article.
If you don't mind me saying this morning on our show, there's always Dan Brennan.
And then Caroline Dobson, which would be interesting. They mentioned her for something else as well. And I think she said, was that Ag? Either Ag or AG? I can't remember what it was. But one of those she said she may run for, and she said no.
If the AG leaves, you know.
Pate to run for governor.
Ag, but if the AG. If Marshall decides to take a shot at Senate, then you could see her sliding in there.
So, apple cart, upset as we head towards that. Hey, 842 on FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings. Looking forward to this coming up. We will have Desi Tobias in studio with us. Joey Warner with Mobile's Baseball Connection also joining us. You know, you got the Hall of Fame walk that should be.
Yeah.
I'm hoping to visit it as soon as they've start having people down there. But the Hall of Fame walk with all those baseball stars that we honor. And then spring baseball right here. We'll get to that coming up right here on Mobile Mornings. And welcome back, FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings. And it is, once again, that time of the month where we invite Desi Tobias and crew in for Law 251 with Tobias and Comer Law. And I said and crew. Got a different type of crew in here today, but Desi Tobias does join us and brings along a friend, Joey Warner, who you may know if you're a local, but especially if you're a local who is invested in the game of baseball. Desi, thank you so much for coming in this morning.
Thank you, Dalton. And I want to introduce my old friend, Joey Warner. Mm-hmm. He and I went to grade school together. We actually played against each other in the Forest Hill Little League out at Municipal Park and had some epic games, but I've known him that long, and he's a great guy. He is baseball in Mobile, and he has done so much to help the game, to publicize the game. And if you have a question about baseball in Mobile, ask Joey.
Yeah, he is no doubt the man, and we were joking off the air. You said, I wrote a book, and I said, no, you wrote the book about baseball in Mobile. Thank you for coming in today.
Well, I'm honored and privileged to be here with you, Dalton, and Desi. Thank you so much.
I love talking sports, and it's funny. My last several conversations with Desi have been about football with Desi's nephew coming down for the Senior Bowl, and so we talked a lot about that. And then now we're talking some baseball, and what a great time of year to do that. Beyond your connection that came as children, Tobias and Comer also involved in something that, Joey, you have your hands all over, and that's Mobile's Baseball Connection. And you guys are awarding the best high school players, kind of is this a week-in, week-out kind of deal?
It is. It is. High school baseball season goes 10 weeks, and then the playoffs start, and there's about five different rounds in playoffs. So it goes to late May when the state champions are crowned.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a real good thing. And speaking of Desi has supported me and the projects I've been involved with since I've been doing things with baseball and other sports. And I'm very appreciative for him and his firm to be supportive of the Midtown Optimist Club high school baseball from awards luncheon for Mobile and Baldwin counties is what we do.
Yeah, there are 5 weeks throughout the season where they pick the players of the week, and there's a huge attendance there, a lot of interest. And Joey also publishes the stats and things like that, but he's giving recognition to these kids who work so hard and their families who work so hard in baseball that otherwise I don't see them getting.
And you know, we were talking, and when you guys met and were as children playing against each other, right? And how then baseball was still without a doubt considered America's sport. And, you know, there's an argument about that to this day, what is truly America's sport. But baseball in Mobile is for many folks still just a complete lifestyle. And you look at so many of the greats and, you know, the opening here of the Hall of Fame walk that we're so excited about, and the great names that we've just heard, you know, forever living around here, the Hank Aarons, the Satchel Paiges, Willie McCoveys, everyone who's going to be there at that walk. And then you think of some of the more recent guys who we've seen go on to the next levels and play the game, you know, the Jake Peavys who come back, the Josh Donaldsons, and then some of the newer guys. You know, South has had so many that have come through. Brendan Donovan, for instance. Mobile is without a doubt a baseball city, and Southwest Alabama, a baseball region. Why, Joey, why is that? Why do you think Mobile took such a liking and became so good at the game?
Well, you know, that's a question that everybody asks, and especially when they get the players make it on the major league level, like Josh and Jake and even Cleon Jones way back when him and Tommy Agee and Amos Otis were with the Miracle Mets in 69. It was very popular then, and they couldn't figure it out. But, you know, when you go back to players like Satchel Paige and the Negro Leagues and the way that they played baseball throughout the world, or basically, because, you know, Paige, and when he got it with Bob Feller, they just created something very different with barnstorming and stuff. But anyway, it's hard to tell what the reason is for all the great ones to come here. Mm-hmm. And it's we've had some really good minor league associations here and teams. And I just wish that we had more, you know, and that the Bay Bears weren't gone. But but still the tradition and the history is there. And it'll never go away. And, you know, when I blend in with it, I study it daily because it's a passion. But these guys that's played on the field and done other things for the sport of baseball, they're the ones that's really represented Mobile.
Yeah.
I'm just kind of like the hip, hip, hooray cheerleader saying, let's keep this spirit going, because it is a spirit of baseball in Mobile. And when they do the statues, that's going to say a lot for this city and this town and the history.
And it's just going to make more children who are growing up here say, I want to be like that. I want to be here one day. And I wonder if, you know, we just had a couple greats here in Mobile, and then that just gains interest, kind of like money sitting in the bank. There's kids from around here go, oh, he's from here. He can be great. I can be great. And then, you know, to bring that all the way to where we are today, I'm sure you wouldn't be, maybe you would still love baseball as much as you do, but maybe you wouldn't have gained such an interest if you didn't come from a place that had such a baseball history. And then by you kind of keeping to push us forward, and by Tobias and Comer Law and some of these other groups that help sponsor this to make sure kids know, you know, that there's a lot to this, not just for a future career, but, you know, it helps you in life playing a game like baseball. I just think the city kind of grows and grows. And with your interest in this, there's more kids that are going, wow, this is I love this game and I want to be involved with this for life.
That's for sure. And, you know, going back to what you're saying about the youngsters, and that's what it's all about. I mean, they start them at 4 years old today. You know, when me and Desi came up in Forest Hill Little League, which was established in 1964, we were 12-year-olds when Hank Aaron and Willie McCovey and Billy Williams were just some of the greatest players ever.
And Cleon Jones and Amos Otis, and I remember watching the Mets and all that.
Yeah. Exactly. And so that was the passion that me and him developed through reading box scores and sports pages and stuff, and it's come full circle with Desi as his support in the local community with baseball and other things that his law firm is into. So we need more people like that, and we need to keep it alive. And, you know, a Mobile Sports Hall of Fame and these baseball leagues around town, these younger kids really need to know about the history, or it's going to go into another generation, and they're just going to have, unless they're not really into baseball, they're it's going to bypass them.
Yeah, I think so. Talk with Desi Tobias with Tobias Comer Law for Law 251. He brought his friend Joey Warner in with Mobile's baseball connection. And Desi, being involved in this and making sure that the high school athletes, baseball players here, are getting their recognition. Some of these students that are getting these awards, I mean, they aren't just great at sport. They're great in the classrooms, too.
Oh, that's right. And I go back in my days, ended at Little League, but I just remember the joy of doing it and the joy of the competition. But also, as they continue on saying to high school, it is a time-consuming thing. It involves dedication. It involves teamwork. perseverance to come back from adversity just about in every game. That's something that they learn and something that I really hope we can promote with what we do at Tobias and Comer Law, something that's so good for the community. And it's something that Joey mentioned and, you know, made me think of the joy and how much fun we had and things like that. But there used to be a paper where every day while the league, the 162 game season was going on, I would read the box scores. I knew who had the RBIs and who had the pitchers with the lowest ERA. And so we want to continue that. And that's why I'm so supportive of Joey. Some of that doesn't exist today. And it's happening, though. There are things out there in the community. And to bring a light to it and to recognize it and to reward it if we can, that's something we're all about.
And I love that. And you guys do that in several different avenues, not just with the student athletes here, but Joey, we still have a whole heck of a lot of talent down here, don't we, in baseball?
We sure do. And you know, the way it happens is you have good coaches here. You have some guys that's been coaching for a long time, and they develop these players on a high school level, and then they move on to the junior college level. A lot of them do, and some of them, if they can get to a Division I school, that's great. But, you know, there's scouts always watching. And, you know, this Midtown Optimist Club awards luncheons that we have five of them, and we recognize these players for that reason, but so that they can get some exposure. And my Facebook page is for that reason, so they can get recognition, exposure for their individual performances and their contributions to their teams. And that helps with just giving these young men an opportunity. And when they are recognized at the luncheons, you do find, like you're talking about, these are outstanding young men with good supportive parents. And the Midtown Optimist Club gets behind it, and Desi as a sponsor. It's just a gathering every time we have these meetings to show what baseball is in Mobile. And I'm fortunate for to be involved with it and all the people that support it.
And Joey, one of the other things you did last year, didn't you have a Baldwin County, Mobile County All-Star game at the end of the season?
Sure did.
Was that the first one that you started?
It was the first one. We've been talking about that for a few years. The Mobile Mobsters, which is an organization here headed up by Joe Connick and James Hattenstein, the Bishop State Community College coach. We do a game, Senior Showdown it's called, with the all-star seniors from Baldwin County and Mobile County, and they play a game, and it's another recognition. You get some college scouts come in, and it helps these players play in a game that they're always going to remember. And these luncheons, they're always going to remember these awards that they win. Because nobody forgets about high school baseball. The best major league players in the world do not forget about high school baseball.
Yeah, they talk often about trying to recapture that feeling, right? Even when they're at the top of their game.
That's for sure.
Something else. Well, Joey, so great to meet you. If folks want to find out more about you, how can they get in contact with you? I know you have a great Facebook page.
It's very easy. Mobile Baseball Connection on Facebook. That's the best way, you know. 251-604-7387. Give me a call.
All right. And I'll keep people updated on those Optimist Club award winners every time we have one out. So I'll put that on the sports report. And Desi, we talk often about how local Tobias and Comer Law is. You were talking about playing at the park as a kid here and knowing Joey for as long as you have. Sponsoring something like this shows you how local Tobias and Comer Law is, and it's another great thing you're doing. Folks are interested in getting in touch with you, I know the number is 251-432-5001, but we also talk about the website all the time, tobiascomerlaw.com.
Yeah, that's right. There's information, any kind of questions, you can find a lot of information on the website. You can always call us, though, at that number, 251-432-5001. We're happy to answer any questions that you have. Do whatever we can to help.
All right. Desi, Joey, thank you so much for coming in.
All right. Thank you, Dalton. Thanks so much.
That does it for Mobile Mornings and Law 251. Coming up next, the Jeff Poor Show right here on FM Talk 106.5.
No representation is made that legal services performed are greater than the quality of legal services of others.